Okay, it's all right. It's only a piece of wood, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's good to be in church. Good to have a copy of the Word of God. What a blessing that is. Let's stand together as I read the entire chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, right down to the end. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're there, folks. We are there in the last days. We are at the end times right now. Paul was writing. He was saying, this know also. This is something you need to know. And so he's telling us that we are living in these last days. And perilous, dangerous, difficult times are going to come. We're there now. We're there in the midst of that. And then he gives a whole list of, I think, 19 different things. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we could gather together today. Thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint this message, anoint the word of God as we look at this particular subject today. Lord, we pray again that you'd work in every single heart that's in this room and everyone that's listening to us, even there in Facebook, Lord. I pray that people listening would, that their hearts would be just drawn closer to you. We pray for your perfect will to be done in this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to focus on one little phrase, and that's found in verse 14, those three words, but continue thou. But continue thou. When we think about that, when I look at that, and I was reading this the other day, and when I was reading this, it really, I've underlined those three words, and we need to continue. And Paul tells Timothy exactly what to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I want to give you some things today that I think that we've learned. We just had a great week this past week, Sunday through Friday, with Brother Hardman preaching to us every single service, every night. And we learned some things. Amen. At least I did. I'm sure that you did too. We learned some things. And so what do we do with that? What do we do with the messages that we hear? We need to continue in those. But continue thou. The very next verse, in verse 15, he actually points out to Timothy exactly what he has learned in his life. What has he learned in his life? He's learned the scriptures. He's learned the Bible. That was important. He had a godly mother. He had a godly grandmother. We talked about Eunice and Lois and Eunice on Mother's Day. I had a brain, you know, just, yeah, it happens. When you get to be this age, it happens often, way too often at times. And it doesn't get any better? No? Thanks, Jim. Thanks for your prophecy there. Now I totally lost where I was going and where I had been and where I'm headed. Lois and Eunice, yes. Timothy had a godly grandmother and a godly mother. And they taught him the scriptures. They brought him, they raised him in the scriptures, which made a big difference in his life. We need to understand the scriptures. We need to learn the scriptures. You learn the scriptures by reading the scriptures, by heeding and listening to the scriptures. Maybe you like to listen to the Bible being read. I do that at times, not all the time. I read. I just finished reading throughout all the names in First Chronicles. And sometimes I cheat. Sometimes I'll turn on, you know, the Bible. I'll listen to it and read as I go. But this time I mentioned every name, sounded out all those names, and went through every one of those names. There's over 1,000 names, I think, that's mentioned in First Chronicles, chapters 1 through 9 or 10. And so, but we learn through that. You learn by reading the Bible. That's why we say so often, read the Bible every day. You learn from that. That's something you and I can learn from. Timothy learned from the scriptures. And he mentions that. Paul mentions that when he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And of course, and hast been assured of. Are these scriptures, do they bring us assurance? Absolutely. They bring us the assurance of eternal life. They bring us assurance of heaven. They bring us assurance of salvation. They bring us assurance of all of these things. These are things that he learned and was assured of. And then he says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There's no other important book on this planet other than the Bible.
Amen.
This is the most important book on the planet. There's not a more important book than the Bible. Nowhere. The Constitution of the United States is a very important document, but the Bible is more important than a Constitution. We as Christians have an obligation to, yes, obey the laws of our land, and yes, obey the Constitution of the United States, but the Bible is the highest that we can obey. There's nothing more important in the land than the Word of God for us as a Christian. The Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. We say that. We have it written in our church constitution. We believe that. We state that often. But let me just ask you quickly, what is the authority in your life? Is it you? If it's you, that's dangerous. Because we even learned this past week that we are our own worst enemy. Amen. I look in the mirror and there's my enemy looking right back at me. Every time I look in that mirror. And so we need to be thoughtful about that. Is the Bible your authority? Or are you your authority? See, we need to have the Word of God as our authority. The Bible needs to be that authority, as Paul was again saying to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is the authority of your life and my life? It needs to be the Word of God. It needs to be the Scriptures. It needs to be the Bible. This needs to be your authority. We have said this many times also when it comes to our you know, Pastor, why aren't you obeying the health department and the authorities and the governor? Well, there comes a point in our life that we must obey God rather than man. When man crosses the line and usurps the authority over God and His Word, what does the Christian do? The Christian has to make a decision in his or her life. Do I obey God or do I obey the government? Do I obey the governor or do I obey God? Who's more important? God is the most important. I'm not disrespecting the office of the governor. I'm just simply saying that we as Christians, we need to take a stand and we need to understand this is where we are. This is what we're doing. And so something has to have some authority in our lives. The word authority simply by Webster says legal power. As the authority of a prince over subjects and parents over children. Parents, you have the authority over your children. Your children are not to usurp the authority over you. Your children, they do not tell you what they're going to do. You tell the children what they're going to do. And there should be no negotiations. Now, there are other examples of authority. Laws. We have laws in this land that we have to obey, right? I mean, you disobey the laws, you're gonna spend time in the hooskow. You're going to pay a fine. Police are our authority, right? I mean, you see flashing red and blue lights behind you, you better pull over. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. You better do what they tell you to do nicely. Yes, sir, you know, whatever you say. Judges have authority over us. The government does have authority over us. Employers have authority over us. Those that we work for, they have authority over us. Parents have authority. Teachers and pastors have authority. What was the authority, though, in Paul's and Timothy's life? I believe it was the Word of God. That had the authority that it needed in their life. Paul obeyed the Bible. Timothy obeyed the Bible. They didn't usurp their authority over the Word of God. They did exactly what the Bible said to do. The Word of God, the Scriptures, was the authority in their life. You know, the Bible is not only our authority, it's our blueprint in life. You know that you wouldn't build a big house or a new church or a big structure without blueprints, right? I mean, that's just something that they have. I know they might be getting away from the blue part of the prints, but blueprints are plans as to how to build something, right? I mean, everything, this building here, this room, we added this room on, we had blueprints for this room. And the builders went exactly by the blueprints that they had that was drawn up. They were looking at them, constantly studying them, and doing exactly what it said. When we put that addition, the education wing on over there, there were blueprints for that room. And I remember when the mason came in to do the foundation, he actually had one of the windows moved wrong. He had to redo a whole window downstairs because it wasn't symmetrical. Boy, that would have drove me nuts for the rest of whatever. One window off here and one window here, you know, from the doors. But I didn't have to say a word. I was gonna, but I didn't have to, because when he looked at the blueprints, he says, ooh, I made a mistake. And he had to redo that part of the wall. But he had blueprints that he had to go by. Plumbing and electrical. And Kirk, you work with that stuff all the time. And so you see that. You have schematics that you have to work with. Those tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. And that's, the Bible is our blueprint for our life. It's our guide in this life. It's that blueprint. It tells us exactly what we need to do. It tells us how to build our own house. It tells us how to, it tells parents how to raise children, parents. You don't know how to raise kids, you're not reading your Bible. The book of Proverbs is a great passage of Scripture. It tells you how to even discipline, how to punish and deal with your children. Deuteronomy, the same way, throughout the entire Bible, it gives us the ability. It's our blueprint in life. It tells us how to build our life. Do you ever get those things you got to put together and you have those assembly instructions? We guys don't need them, right? We don't need them. We throw them away, set them aside until we get stuck. What is this piece here? Whoa, this goes somewhere. And you find out that you didn't read the assembly instructions. But you know what? Those assembly instructions are there for a reason. They're there for a purpose. I know our pride says we don't need it. But I got to be honest with you. I use them and I look at them. I at least glance at them anyway. You know, A goes to B and B goes to C and C. You know, those things. And screw this here, and put this here, and put this clamp here, and do all this stuff. But that is to help us to build this thing that we are building. And so the Bible is that instruction book for our life. What is that acronym, Bible, B-I-B-L-E? Basic instruction before leaving earth. Yep. Right? That's what the Bible is. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Boy, you need this book in your life. God is a God of order and precision. God has given us a blueprint for our lives. Amen. Right here. Here's our blueprint for our life. It's right here. I know it's 66 books and there's a lot of pages, a lot of words, a lot of verses, a lot of chapters, but this is our blueprint for our life. And he gives it to us. And if we fail in our life, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. We failed to read the instruction manual. We failed to look at the blueprints as we were building this life of ours. This Bible tells you how to build your marriage and how to have a successful marriage. The Bible tells you how to be the right employer, the right employee. The Bible gives us so much. God, again, has given us, just like every building has a specific blueprint for that building, you and I have a specific blueprint for our lives. I believe that. I believe that God has a blueprint just for you, just for me. And this is how He wants me to run my life, and that's how He wants you to run your life. But as we read the Word of God, He reveals that to us as over time, right? I mean, that's what He has done with us, with me, and I'm sure that He does that with you. Look at just a few verses on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So many people make a mess out of their life, and then they wonder why. They even blame God. God, look what you've done to me. Look at what you've done to my life. Look what you've done to me, God. No, God didn't do it. You failed to look at the instruction manual. You failed to go by the blueprint. You failed somewhere yourself. Don't put it all on God. He has given us the answers. Every answer to life's questions are answered in this book that I have in front of me, that you, many of you have in front of you. Every answer to life's questions are answered in this Bible, right? Everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. How can you take heed to building something? Well, I would advise read the blueprints. I remember when we were building Temple Baptist in Baldwinsville, I remember getting the blueprints from the architect over there with Pastor Overton, and we'd spread those things out on a table, and it's, okay, this is what we have to do first, and this is how long it goes, this is how wide, this is how deep, this is how, you know, everything. Everything was spelled out in those blueprints. Everything. And we built the church based on those blueprints. And we build our lives based on the blueprint of the Word of God. Paul says there in verse 10, again, the first part, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. How can you be a wise master builder? Well, I would say read the blueprints. Read the instruction manual. Find out how to be a wise master builder. You'll build your life well if you're following the instruction manual. And he goes on, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, He is our foundation. You start with Him and you start building upon Jesus Christ and you allow Him to give you the instruction that you need. You cannot go wrong. Will we fail periodically? Of course we will. But a failure doesn't stay a failure. A failure, somebody that falls doesn't stay fallen. They get back up again. And they keep on going. And they fall maybe. And they get up again. Fall, get up again. Fall, get up again. You keep getting up. And you keep going forward. And you keep saying, I want to be the best Christian that I can possibly be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, given all diligence, look what Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That is the way you build your life. You add something to something else. You start with a foundation, you add brick upon brick, you add board upon board, you build a house, right? You build something. When I was in the shed building business, that's how we did it. I would have a plan drawn out, and then I would build according to that plan, depending on the size of the shed. I had in my garage in Baldwinsville, I would make a template for the trusses. I would build one truss, and then I'd build every truss identical to that. I had a template in the garage that I would build those trusses. I would take those trusses, and I'd build the structure. Take a whole pile of 2x4s and 2x6s and other, and build this shed. And that's, you know, the shed's a tiny little thing. It's not much, but it's, you know, a mini house, you might say. But that's how you build something. You have a plan, and you put it down. God has a plan, and he put it down in writing for us. What a blessing that is. God just didn't keep it all up here or here. He put it on paper for us. So we can actually know the plan of God for our life. Isn't that a blessing? To know the plan of God for our life? God has a plan for me personally. He's got a blueprint for me personally. Yeah. He's got every blueprint has a stamp on it by the architect, and he'll have the business or the whatever. I remember seeing the blueprints for here. It says for Seneca Bible Baptist Church. And it was a blueprint for this church. And God has a blueprint personally for Terry Fenton. And he has one for you too. It's up to you to find that blueprint. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We talked about that this past week. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You think that's a plan there? Isn't that a blueprint there? That's a blueprint right there. That's part of the blueprints. That's part of the plan. That's part of the assembly plan for you and me. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Who's building our house? Who's building your home? Who's building your family? Who's building your marriage? It better be the Lord. It better be God. Because if he's building it, he's not going to make any mistakes. And if you use the blueprint of the Word of God, you know what I realized? There's no mistakes in this. Not one. Not one little tiny itsy-bitsy mistake is found anywhere in the Word of God. It's everything is the pure Word of God. Just as every house, every individual house has a set of blueprints for that house, every individual saint of God has a specific blueprint for his or her life. Doesn't matter the age either. God's got it all figured out for you. Well, I'm old. Well, join the old crowd here. I'm too young. No, you're never too young. You're never too old. God has a plan. God has a blueprint. Not only is the Bible our authority and the Bible is our blueprint, but also the Bible is our roadmap. Where does this roadmap take us? This Bible roadmap. It directs us right to Calvary. It directs us to repentance of our sins, to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is the roadmap of life. This shows you exactly where you're going. It tells you where you've been. It tells you what you need to do in life. This Bible is our roadmap in life. I don't know about you, but when we travel, a lot of times we use a GPS, either on our phones or we have those little GPS units that we have in our vehicle. Sometimes they get us to the right place and sometimes they don't. They don't always. They're not foolproof. They have their mistakes. But for the most part, they do lead us in the direction that we're going. I use mine a lot. If I'm going somewhere that I don't know how to get to that specific address, you just type in the address, boom. Here's how long it's going to take you. This is how many miles. Here we go. It even talks to you. Turn left here. And if you don't, they say, dummy, you didn't turn left here. They'll tell you to turn around and go back. And sometimes you argue with them, right? You ever argue with them? Yeah, you argue with them. Tell them you don't know what you're talking about. But the Bible is our roadmap to lead us to Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate place where we all need to go. If you've not been to Calvary yet, this Bible will lead you to Calvary. It'll lead you to repentance. It'll lead you to Jesus Christ. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is salvation through Christ. Repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ. Not only does it lead us just to Calvary and to repentance, but it also leads us, it's our roadmap to an abundant, listen to me, happy Christian life. An abundant, happy Christian life. John 10:10. John 10:10. I emphasize abundant, happy life. I believe that we can be happy as a Christian. I believe that we ought to be happy as a Christian. I don't see why we couldn't be happy as a Christian. Amen? Knowing that what we know about being saved and going to heaven and having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and God as our Father and being part of the family of God, why can't you be happy? Too many problems in the world. Well, they're not all your problems, are they? Hopefully not. But 10:10, John says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said these words, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Can you have an abundant life with Christ? Yes. Where do you get that life from? Jesus Christ and through the Word of God. You get that abundant life. Just turn over a page or two to John chapter 13. John 13. Jesus just finished washing all of the disciples' feet. And when he got done with that, he says in John 13, look at verse 17. He says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." If ye know these things. What things? Well, the things that he's expounding there in the upper room. But folks, if you know the Word of God, can't you be happy by knowing those things that God has given to you? Jesus, I don't have a red letter edition, but I think he was speaking there. If you have a red letter edition, it might be red. I think it is. If you know, I think that the whole Bible ought to be a red letter edition because Jesus wrote it all. He is the Word. But he does say, he says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now there's a little conditional word in that verse. What is it? If ye do them. If, that's conditional. It's based on your condition. If you don't do them, guess what? You're not going to be happy. But if you do them, you can be happy. From what I gather from that verse. Right? Go over to the book of Psalms. Psalms 128. Psalms 128, the 128th Psalm. Verses 1 and 2. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." God is telling us that we can be happy. He is telling us that we can be happy. Look at 144, 144 Psalm, verse 15, 144, verse 15. Let's read 14 and 15. 144, 14. "That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets." Look at the very first word of 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If God is your Lord and Master, you can be happy. And if you're not complaining in verse 14, you can be even more happy. But so often we complain. I think that's why, that's why it's there. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. But he needs to be your Lord. He needs to be your Lord and Savior. He needs to be your Lord. He needs to be the one that directs in your life. You know what the word Lord means in Scripture? It means your master, your general, your ruler, your employer. So often, so many Christians don't have Christ as his or her ruler and master and employer. You're doing what you want to do. You're going where you want to go. You're spending your money on what you want to spend your money on. You're not asking God to give you direction and guidance in your life. And so often we don't live a happy life. 146, just across the page. 146, look at verse 5. 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Where are you putting your hope today? So many unhappy Christians are putting their hope in other things other than the Lord. Amen. They're putting their hope in government. They're putting their hope in an employer. They're putting their hope in something other than God, the Lord. You put your hope in God and you'll be happy. Anybody there? Amen. All right. Didn't know if anybody was there or not. So the Bible, again, is our authority. The Bible gives us the ability to have this happy Christian life. We can have a happy Christian life if we're doing it God's way, not our way. Not only is the Bible our authority and our blueprint and can be happy, we can be happy with the things in our life, but it's our roadmap to heaven. Amen. Tells us how to get to heaven. Right. Tells us what direction we're going. Amen. John chapter 14. You know the verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I like what Mrs. Hardman said last week about that verse she was talking about. She says, if you lived in a camper all your life, you'd be looking forward to that mansion. Live in a little tin box all the time. She says, I'm looking forward to that mansion, she said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This is so clear. Jesus said in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there by the Baptist church. You can't get there by the Baptist preacher. You can't get there from some other church or some other preacher or some other works. You can't get there by works. You only go through Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. You can't go through a religion. Religion gets you nowhere. Nowhere. Religion gets you nowhere. Religion can't help you. Only Christ can help you. And through the Word of God, that can help you. So the Bible is this roadmap to heaven. The Bible is also our spiritual food. Most of us don't go too long without eating. I mean, I know many of you, we fast different days of the week at times. And so we'll go without food or whatever it is that you decide to fast on. But normally, most people don't go too long without eating. In America, we, you know, it's the pastime in America is, I think, eating, right? It's one of those things. Sunday afternoons, the buffets are all shut down. And some of you, I see tears in your eyes because of that. Can't go to the buffet, can't go to the restaurant, can't go to the Chinese buffet or wherever it is you go on a Sunday afternoon after church. We received a gift card this past week to a restaurant that Kathy and I like to go to. And I'm looking forward to that restaurant opening back up again so we can go in and sit down and enjoy a meal. And a lot of them are still, some of them are just starting to open and all of that. But the Bible is much more important. It's our spiritual food. And it gives us the nourishment that we need to go through life. You need food to nourish and fuel your bodies, right? I mean, that's what food is designed. God designed food to fuel you, not to fill you. We've got the opposite effect. We like food that fills us, and we don't care about the fuel. But food was designed to fuel the body, to give the body the nourishment and the energy that it needs to do the things that it needs to do. Well, that's what the Bible is our spiritual food. It gives us the nourishment, spiritual nourishment, to allow us to do what we need to do as Christians. It gives us this strength that we need in this world, as we read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, we're living at a time in which we Christians need to be strong in order to combat all of the stuff that we're faced with every single day of our life. And without the spiritual food, you're going to be weak to those things. You're going to give in to those things. And so the Bible is that spiritual nourishment that we need. Even Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, as he was responding to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we are to survive in life. We survive in life because of the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's what Peter was saying. Hey, we use the word of God as the way that we can grow spiritually. Also, the Bible is God's love letter to us. Did you know that? The Bible is God's love letter to us.
Amen.
The love that God has for us is beyond what you and I can understand, or we can't even come close to understanding the incredible love that God has had for this world, for human beings, to send his only virgin-born son to die for every human being, to provide salvation to everybody. I mean everybody. The horrible people that you see that you think are terrible and bad and they're behind bars and all of this, he died for everybody. He died for the good. He died for the bad. He died for everybody. He died for every human being that's ever been born. If he could save you, he can save anybody, I say. If he can save me, he can save anybody. We all know John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. I always look at that little word so. Tiny little word. But God put that in there for emphasis, to emphasize his love for us. He so loved you and me that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son, his only virgin-born Son. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commendeth, he showed, he manifested his love toward us through his Son Christ dying on the cross for our sins. Titus 3:4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't it a blessing to be part of the greatest family in the universe?
Amen.
That's the family of God. As a saved person, you and I, we are part of the family of God. God is our Father.
Amen.
The devil no longer is our Father. No longer is our ruler. No longer is our master. The Lord God is now the creator of the heaven and the universe. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. Verse 9, 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You're not going to live unless you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Live eternally. You're living physically now, but we're talking about living spiritually. Spiritual life comes by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look at the next verse. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means satisfaction, to satisfy God's righteous anger and wrath. We're saved now. We become the child of God, a very child of God. God becomes our Father. And God now is satisfied because his Son was our propitiation for our sins. He took every sin that you and I have ever committed or ever thought about committing on the cross and died for us. Look at verse 19 of this same chapter. We love him because he first loved us. This Bible declares the love of God. It is our It is the love letter that God has given to us. Amen. The Bible is our authority. The Bible is our blueprint. The Bible is our roadmap. The Bible is our spiritual food. And the Bible is God's love letter to us. Amen. The Word of God. We go back to our text that we started with in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 14, three words, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And the very first thing that Paul brings out to Timothy in verse 15 is the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. Timothy, don't ever forget the Bible. Don't ever forget the Holy Scriptures. Christian, don't ever forget the Bible. Don't ever forget the Holy Scriptures. This, but continue thou in what you have learned. Continue. That means don't quit. That means don't stop reading the Bible. Well, I read it once. Good. Read it again. And read it again and just keep reading it. Till the day you die, the day you leave planet Earth is the day you can stop reading God's Word. How's that? Amen. But you read until you leave planet Earth. Amen. You read this every day of your life. You make this as part of your life. This needs to be part of your day every day. Part of your day. Is it part of your day every day? Or are other things more important than reading the Bible? Make this part of your day. Make it as important as eating food, having breakfast, going to work, whatever. Whatever you do during your day. Make this part of your day. The Word of God. The Word of God. But continue thou. Continue. We'll continue this tonight. I've got many more things here. We'll make this a whole day affair on this particular subject. Those three words. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Scriptures, number one. We'll look at some more things tonight. I hope and pray that you're saved today. I really hope and pray that you are saved. There is not anything more important in this life than knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you don't know when you're going to leave planet Earth. I believe that every heartbeat, every breath is from God. It's a gift from God. And God can stop that heart anytime He wants. He can stop your living anytime He wants. Remember, we all have an appointment with God. It's appointed on a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We all have an appointment. We just don't know when that is. God hasn't shared His calendar with us yet. He hasn't given us that appointed day. We don't know. We don't know when we're going to leave this planet. But we need to be ready to leave. I hope you're ready. I hope you're saved. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have never asked the Lord to save you, you are in the right place at the right time because we can help you with that. We can show you from the Scriptures how you can trust Christ. Repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and be saved for eternity. Eternity is a long time. You will spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. One of the two places. There's only two that the Bible speaks of. There's no in between. There's only two places, heaven and hell. And you will spend eternity in one of those places. I would choose hell. I would choose heaven. No, please understand. My brain got ahead of me, all right? Just relax, folks. You know I didn't mean that. I would choose heaven over hell is what I'm trying to say. If I were you, if you've never made that choice, choose heaven over hell. Boy, can you bleep that out of there? Bleep, bleep. Edit that. Once it goes out, you can't edit it. You never notice that? Once it's out of here, it's gone. It's in there. It's in those ears. It's going around in that brain. And you're saying the guy is crazy. I knew he was all the time. So I say amen to that when you say he's crazy. We know that. Amen. He is. Yeah, a little bit. If you're not saved, get saved today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible. What a blessing to have a copy of your word. Lord, I am so grateful and thankful that it is the authority in our life. And Lord, if it's not the authority in somebody's life in this room, I pray that through this message that they would realize that they need to place this book as an authority in their life. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's not truly born again, we pray that today would be their day of salvation. Make them realize their need to be saved. Lord, don't let anybody leave here today not knowing you as Lord and Savior. But convict that heart. Convict that individual or individuals of their need to be saved. Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for going to that cross on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you for that. Lord, you didn't have to do that. You did it out of love. And because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, your word says. Lord, again, thank you for everything you've done. We just pray now that you bless this time of invitation. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation.